Lord, we rejoice in you today, and this is the day that you have made. So I don't know if, hopefully you don't have enough a roast in the oven today or anything. If not, it'll be a whole burnt offering by the time you get home. So, but we're here for the Lord, amen. And we're here for each other too. I mean, God called us together to unite as a body, and each member is important that we would supply that which is lacking in each other. We work as a team. The body of Christ is a team. Amen? It's not a one-man show. And so we're praying, Lord, just reel in all the lone rangers that are just wandering around out there. Self-appointed prophets and parking lot prophets. And just reel them in, Jesus. Bring them in. Plug them in where there's going to be some accountability, some responsibility. Amen? And where they're going to benefit not only from what they might have, but what others will impart into them. So we need each other, and God designed us that way. God is a God of restoration. Jesus said in John 3:19 that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So we know he didn't come to condemn. Aren't you glad? Because we'd all be without hope if that was the case. God has given us an opportunity to get it right now. Because the right now is not going to last forever. This season will soon pass. Amen. And there's coming a day when the Lord's going to call his bride. He's going to call his church. And then he's going to pour out his wrath upon the world of the ungodly. It's very clear in Scripture. Now, whether you like that about God or not, it doesn't matter. That's who God is. And God has every right to, because God is just. Because God is the one who gave his only begotten Son. God is the one who first loved us. God is the one who created the whole thing. Amen? And it was his idea of redemption, not ours. And while we were yet in our sin, Christ died. He didn't die for the godly, amen, but for the ungodly. He died for us sinners. So we owe him. We owe him everything. We owe him our lives. How many know that God didn't die on that cross? Jesus didn't die on that cross just so that you could punch a clock on Sunday morning and do your little religious thing and then live the rest of your time unto yourself. Now, he shed his blood to purchase or redeem a people out of this dark, sin-sick world and to translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light, to become citizens of heaven and to live, amen, from heaven to earth, to release the kingdom. We are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so God didn't just go to the cross so that we could go to heaven, amen, but so that we could be a light here and now in the earth realm. Because if he just wanted to take us to heaven, he would have killed you right after salvation. Amen. But he has a purpose for us to be here. We are the light. We are the salt. And he wants to reveal himself through his church, through his body. That was the reason why Israel was called. Amen. To represent God in the earth as his people. That people would look at Israel and see what Jehovah God was like. But today, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, we are the people of God. Amen. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Now, that does not mean that God does not have a purpose for Israel, national Israel. Amen. The promises that he's made to Israel still stand. But the Bible is very clear that he who is not a Jew, who is one outwardly by circumcision in the flesh, but one who is inwardly, right? A Jew inwardly. And that is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit of God. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the seal of God. We become his people. And so now the church today is to be the expression of Christ in the earth. We are to represent him to the world. Amen. So when they look at you and me, they see an example of God. They see what God is like because we are reflecting his image. And we cannot do that if we are full of ourselves. We cannot be a disciple of Jesus until we're done with ourselves. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with yourself. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin. Till you come to that place where you're done with sin and you repent. And now I'm ready, Jesus, to offer my life, my body, back to you. See, that's what Jesus called us to, folks. Not some kind of religious thing we do on the weekend, but to a life of consecration, dedication to God, to live for Him who died for us and rose again. I don't know about you, but there's no better life than life in the Spirit. It is a superior life. It is, Jesus called it, is an abundant life. That means superior quality and quantity. Amen? Superabundant. That's in the Spirit. Amen? Jesus said the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit, not through tradition and formalities. That has gone away. Now we are to walk in the Spirit. And we become the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He dwells, amen, in the heart. Lord, thank You for that. But you must be born again. If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And how do we know that we are children of God? Well, He bears witness. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. Amen? Because a good tree will bear good fruit. So if we're in Christ, we will bear the fruit of Christ as we abide in Him. Amen? A tree doesn't have to force fruit. It just bears fruit because it's planted in the right environment. Our roots have to be in Christ. Amen? We have to be in Christ. And the Bible is very clear. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And you will not see life because He is life. And you must be filled with His Spirit. God must dwell within you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many received the touch from the Lord today? Amen. The rest of you, we're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, you've heard it said, but the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and the Holy Spirit will not barge in on you. If you don't want Him, you won't get Him. Amen. If you really want God to have you, to possess you, to fill you, then He will. But you know, we can be like I was at one time, even growing up and having to sit in those old hard pews and listen to those stale sermons. And I found myself occupied with writing notes to my girlfriend and, you know, and totally distracted, totally disconnected. And it didn't make any sense to me. And you know what? It never will make sense until Christ comes, amen, to dwell within you. And the light comes on. And all of a sudden now it's like, wow, you're seeing things from a different lens, through a different perspective. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Now I understand why these weird people did what they did. And I have a new normal. What used to be normal is now abnormal. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your truth. Lord, You said we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Father, I pray that You'd reveal truth in the inward parts, God, that You would reach out to us right now by Your Spirit, Lord, and remove the veil from our eyes, Lord. Anoint us to hear, to understand, to perceive what You are saying, Lord, to know what You're saying today. We know we cannot learn You, God, in a classroom. You must reveal Yourself. And we ask that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, Lord. Our eyes of our understanding would be enlightened today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we sang a song a few weeks ago. called Good, Good Father. How many know that? Remember that song, Good, Good Father? And in that it talks about, I've heard, you know, many things about what you're like, what people think you're like, or who they think you're like. But in the song, he's basically saying, but I've come to know you, who you really are. That you're a good, good father. It's who you are. All of us have had ideas of what God is like. And those ideas are based upon our experiences often in this world. Growing up, people that we've known, authorities in our lives, parents, teachers. And often our view of God is distorted. And we cannot know God except that He reveals Himself through His Holy Spirit to us. And when you come to know who the Father really is, as we're getting to know Him, we are beginning to realize how good He really is. And you want to be with somebody who's good. You want to be with somebody who's loving. You want to be with somebody who's kind. Amen? You want to be with somebody who cares about you and looks out after your own interests. Amen? He's a good, good father, folks. We've got to understand that. It wasn't that we looked for Him. It wasn't that we were seeking for Him. As a matter of fact, you won't even be seeking for Him unless He is drawing you. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. So we need to understand that God is the one who took the initiative to reach out to you and I, because He loves us and He wants us to be with Him and He wants to share His kingdom with us. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He's a good father. He's not a God that demands performance. Because He knows what we're made of. He knows what we're like. He knows what we're capable of, and He knows what we can't do. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And God knows that apart from Him, we cannot save ourselves. We can't do enough good. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of His glory. And we can be justified freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus to those who believe. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. He broke it all down. He said, all the law is in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. This is my commandment, guys. Love one another. Can we do that? Can we love one another? Do you understand that we cannot love one another unless His Spirit is within us? Otherwise, it's all about me. We have a natural affection. Mankind is born with natural affection. There are people who do loving things. There are people who do nice things, people who do kind things. But it doesn't mean that it's God. It's just human goodness. You know, we're so good. The only thing that God accepts is His own righteousness. The only thing He accepts is that which is produced by His Spirit in us. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace. Not the human, mushy, touchy-feely, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But the love of God that is a sacrificial love, that is a one-way love, that is higher than the human love that we know in this earthly realm. So we need the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. Because what God accepts is that which is of Him and not of us. That's why Paul said, in and of myself, you know, there's no good thing. There's nothing good in me. To will is present, but to do I cannot. But then he concluded at the end, you have to keep it in context. The victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, I can bear fruit. In Christ, I can have life and peace. Amen? In Christ, I can be free from condemnation. In Christ, I can walk, hallelujah, in new life. In Christ, I have redemption. In Christ, I have peace and joy and all the good fruits. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And God wants His children to trust Him. God wants His children to come to Him. You've been stressed out trying to perform, trying to do good, trying to be good. And you know, we can do a pretty good job for a little while anyways. And we can fool people for a little while as they look at you and say, wow, you're a pretty nice guy. But we'll find out how spiritual you are when somebody steps on your toe, right? Or see, human goodness is based upon how well things are going usually, you know, in my life. I can be loving as long as you're loving me. I can be nice as long as you're nice to me. I can be happy as long as the sun is shining outside. How many know what I'm talking about? You go into the office and everybody's cheering. Hey, oh, I'm having a wonderful day. Why? Because the sunshine is out. But what happens when the sun goes behind the cloud? Do you lose your joy? Now, was that human joy or is that the joy of the Lord? You understand? It's a higher place that God is calling to. It's called abiding in Him. Hiding yourself in Him. Shutting yourself in with Him in that secret place of the Most High. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you have access to all of who He is, and the good fruits of who He is will be reflected through your life. And it's not based upon your circumstances or your environment or what's happening or whether or not somebody loves you. You love because love is in you. You can love the unlovely. I don't know if I looked at you, I don't mean anything about it. Do you get it? You can love your enemies. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell you to love your enemies if it wasn't possible. But with man, it's impossible. Take them out, right? But the love of God is a higher love, a superior love, a love that is sacrificial, a love that is willing to suffer on behalf of somebody else. So that somebody else can receive a blessing. You understand that? This is the love of God. You see, sometimes we can fool ourselves or fool other people and say, well, I'm taking a quick evaluation of myself. I've been a pretty good Christian today. What does God say? How does God see you? Is it human goodness? Or is it His goodness? Is it your love or is it His love? You see, there are people who are in great deception today because they are trusting in their goodness. Because they think about how good they are, and often they compare themselves with other people. Well, as long as I'm not as bad as those people that do those things over there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But wait until God turns the heat up, turns the light on and says, well, here, take a look at that. And He begins to show us who we really are apart from Him. And it causes us to draw near to Him, say, oh God, I'm running to You for refuge. I'm running to You for help. Because I realize, Lord, in myself there's no good thing. I realize apart from You, I can do zero. I can bear no fruit. I must trust. I must depend. There is a law in Christ that is written on our hearts. Amen? And we are responsible to live by the law of Christ today in the New Testament. So we need to ask ourselves this question. Do I have the Spirit of Christ in me? Is there evidence of His life in me? Or am I just as an act of my own will, doing good things, saying good things, doing loving things as an act of my own personality. Understand? Now, what am I saying? We have to agree with the Spirit of God. My person is responsible to submit to the authority of God, amen, the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to work through my life. So I'm not saying that we're not responsible for what we do in our flesh, amen? Our flesh is to be submitted to the Spirit of God. That's the point. But because apart from Him, we can do nothing. But God has to allow us to see ourselves, and He has to allow us to fail over and over and over again. Until we come to the end of ourself when we say, God, I cannot. I can't do it. And now you're ready for Jesus. Now you're ready for Jesus. When we get over ourselves, now we're ready for Jesus. When we realize that we don't have what it takes, we're ready for Jesus. When I realize my righteousness is not good enough, I'm ready for Jesus. My goodness is not good enough. I'm ready for Jesus now. God help. I say, Lord, shed your love abroad in my heart. And by the Holy Spirit, I want to love. There's no greater commandment than that. We can do all the church stuff. Come on. We can even be involved with miracles and signs and wonders and all these things. But interesting enough, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, but if you don't have love, you could even give your body to be burned and yet not have love? Wow. I could understand all mysteries and have all faith that I can remove mountains, but I don't have love? It's possible. You know you're in God's love when you care about others sincerely. When it's no longer about you, but it's about Him. When we're in the love of God, we want to please the Father. We want to serve the Father. We want to serve the body of Christ. We want to love the world. Amen? We will love the world when we're in the love of God. If all I'm concerned about is my own welfare, then I need to really question where I stand. Do you know so much of the church today has been focused on my needs? I come to get my needs met. Do you understand something, folks? That is actually opposite of what Jesus actually taught. If any man will come after me, let him disown himself. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. When you come, what's in it for me? Well, why don't you take care of God's business first? Why don't you, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things you're not going to stress out about. Why? God's just going to take care of that. You just be busy about my business, amen? Be like Jesus. I'm about my Father's business. I'm just here, Lord. What are we going to do today? How are we going to do life today, God? I'm yoking up with you. I'm hooking up with you. We're going to do life together today. And I'm not going to be worried about the future. I'm not going to be worried about the finances. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear. None of that stuff. All I need to be concerned about is, Lord, what do we got to do today? About the Father's business, seeking first the kingdom. And then, guess what? God says, I'm going to keep you in peace. You're not going to be worried about those things. Why? Because you're going to understand that when you are yoked up together with me, you're not going to go hungry. When you're yoked up with Jesus and you're walking this life out with Him, you're not going to be stressed out. But when we disconnect from Jesus and then we try to get back under law and self-performance, we get back under stress and did I and am I and who am I really a child of God? Am I saved? And I woke up this morning, I didn't feel saved. How many ever felt that way, right? Well, maybe you're not. How many know it's good to check, right? You want to make sure of your salvation. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's true. There are people who are in deception because they are trusting in their own goodness, folks. And, you know, it's a subtle thing. Because naturally, we're inclined to want to be with certain people who have similar interests, who think like we do often, who are nice to us. Aren't you glad that God didn't wait for you to be nice? He didn't wait for us to be good. He says, you can't do it. You can't save yourself. I'm going to take your place at the cross. And those things, the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, I'm taking out of the way, and it's going to be nailed to the cross so that in Christ will be the fulfillment. Amen? And the sin problem has been dealt with at the cross. Do you understand already, folks? The sin problem has already been dealt with. There is forgiveness today. That means the debt can be canceled in your life. All the guilt, all the shame, all the worry about what I did and the regrets of yesterday, hey, they're dealt with already. Why don't you deal with them? Why don't you take them to Jesus? Why don't you take it to the cross today and put it to death there? Why don't you just take that old nasty life of the old past and, did I just say that? And lay it down at Jesus' feet and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for my arrogance. Forgive me for comparing myself to other people when I'm just as wretched as anybody else. In your sight, I'm wretched. Apart from Christ and His righteousness, my righteousness is like a filthy rag. It's not good enough. See, God is into redemption. God has a redemptive heart. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's take a look at this. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, he was getting ready to go to the cross, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Now understand that the Samaritans didn't get along with the Jews and vice versa. They were half-breeds and they were despised by the Jews, and the Samaritans didn't like them either. And so in verse 53, it says, but they did not receive him, who, Jesus, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Now look at verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned to them and rebuked them and says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. See, this was the acceptable year of the Lord we're talking about here. And it was not the day of God's vengeance. When Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to condemn, but I came to save. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I come for the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus came to redeem. Jesus came to restore us to fellowship with the Father. Amen. Jesus went all the way to the cross. Amen. So that we could receive forgiveness through his blood. And yet, sometimes we're still caught in that place of self-performance. We're still trying by our own goodness to please God or to live up to God's standard. Folks, listen. The standard of God is way bigger than you are. It's way higher than you are. The standard of God cannot be attained by human merit or effort. The standard of God is only accomplished through the grace, the ability of God. It's not by my works, my efforts, but by the power of God that I can live holy. Because I am trusting in Jesus. It's by the ability that God supplies that I can live a holy life. I'm not trusting in my goodness. If we don't pray, then we're not staying connected to the vine. Amen? And we begin to get weak. And the adversary is like a roaring lion. He's just waiting for you to make yourself vulnerable to him. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from talking to God, staying connected to Jesus. He'll do everything he can to keep you from going to church and being connected to the body of Christ, because he knows that that's the life of Christ is going to be released in that place. And it's when two or three are gathered in my name that I am there in your midst.
Well, I just have me and Jesus in the boob tube, you know?
No, Jesus said, go to church. If you're able to get to church, get to church. Amen? Why? Because you need to gather. It doesn't have to be just in a church building, but we should be gathering as often as we can. Amen? With the body of Christ. This is just a building. Amen? This is not God's house. I know we call it that, but it's really not God's house. It's a building. We are God's house. His Spirit lives within us. And so that's why we must gather together so that the life of Christ, the expression of Christ, can be released through us. But the disciples here, they wanted to call down fire on these people. What is that saying, folks? They did not have the love of God in them. They were still thinking under the law, if you will. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so likewise, you and I, in this dispensation, amen, are to seek also and to save that which is lost. To be God's ambassadors, God's representatives in this world. That Christ, through us, would be calling men and women, boys and girls, to be reconciled to God, to be brought back to God. Amen? Right relationship with God. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love one another. So what is it? My goodness or his goodness? It's got to be his goodness. Is it my righteousness or his righteousness? It's got to be. That means I have to abide in him. That means I have to stay connected to him. That means I have to stay, amen, with the body, amen, as often as possible. I want you to hear something today. Listen, folks, people today have this attitude that it's not important to join together or to gather together. They have this attitude. And yet, I want you to hear something. The life of Christ is ministered through the body of Christ. I understand we got schedules, we got things. We can't always be in church. I get that. But we can stay connected in other ways. We can be on the phone. We can be praying for each other. Amen? We can be joining in the Spirit. Because the life of Christ is released through his body. And I'm going to finish with an illustration, okay? If you and I cut our finger and it gets infected, you don't immediately take out a knife and say, it's infected, chop. But yet, sometimes that's the way we treat each other. Someone stumbles, someone falls into sin. And right away, we want to just cut them out of our life. Touch not the unclean thing. Are you hearing me today? But if they are a member of Christ's body, they are also a member of you. They are your family. So what should happen is the body needs to be involved and say, hey, wait a minute, we've got a problem over here. Let's gather around this infected finger and let's put some ointment on that. Come on. Let's pray for that finger. Amen. Let's do something. Let's try and see if we can't bring that finger back to health. Instead of immediately taking the knife out and severing it and throwing it away. Now, the finger is also responsible to respond to the treatment. If the finger will not respond to the treatment, then what will happen is that infection will begin to spread into the rest of the body and you could lose your life. It could kill the life of the body. And that is why, folks, many churches today are sick. Because they refuse to deal with the sin problems. And they refuse to approach it from the love of God. What I want to do is see people healed, reconciled to God. Amen? That's what we should be seeking, is to restore a brother or sister who has fallen, rather than sever them and cut them off. If that person is unwilling to repent and get it right, then we have no alternative except to cut them off. Are you hearing me? So that we will protect the life of the body. We've had people that have come here that were doing good. They started to come after God. They started to do well. They were in the Word. They were praying. They were starting to bear fruit. But they had this issue where they just couldn't keep their hands off each other. They weren't married. And we had to tell them, guys, listen, you've been here long enough. We've been praying. We've been trying to minister to you. And now we need to tell you that what you're doing right there is causing infection in you. And if we continue to allow you to go in that direction, it's also going to release that infection into the rest of the body. And I'm sorry, you have to make a decision. Either you're going to get it right, get married, or you're going to have to take a walk. I know that's tough love, but we've got to do that, folks. There's a time, and the reason why a lot of churches are sick is because they won't deal with that. Oh, we don't want to make so-and-so unhappy. We don't want to offend anybody. We certainly don't want to challenge brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so because they're some of our biggest tithers. So we'll focus on little dirt ball over here, but over here, no, we're not going to deal with them. Are you hearing me? And if we don't deal with these things, then the enemy has an opportunity to come in and begin to choke the life out of the church. So I want to finish with this scripture. Did I just say that? Galatians chapter 6. Some of you know this is where we're going already. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then look how he puts this together. This is context here, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you understand that reconciling a brother and sister is bearing one another's burdens? Now look at the New Living Translation. I'll just read it to you. Galatians 6:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ." What law are we under today? The law of Christ, right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So what should we be doing? We should be seeking to reconcile the world to God. Amen? Not point a judgmental finger at them. Folks, people in the world are going to do what they do best. Sin. You and I, amen? We're cut of that same cloth, the cloth of Adam, until Christ came. Amen? We need to understand that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. How many know that Jesus loved on us first? Do you know that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil? Do you know that Jesus healed people before he even called them to repentance? He just loved people. And because of that, they wanted to be with him. And then they wanted to hear what he had to say. How many know that people aren't going to want to hear what you have to say if they know that you don't really care about them? If you don't really love them. Folks, I ran into so many people before when I was in the world who claimed to be Christians, but I knew they didn't love me. They were just comparing themselves to others. God, I just pray that you will help us to love as you love and show us how to love. Show us how to love each other. Show us how to walk together. Show us how to work together as a team. Show us how, Lord, to forgive. Show us how to show mercy, Lord, to each other. God, we just pray that the fruit of your grace, the fruit of your Spirit, Lord, will just permeate us and let it be revealed in every place, God. It'll just be manifest in every place. We want to be that sweet savor of life, Lord. And we ask you for help. We ask you for grace. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who has a redemptive heart. And your heart, Lord God, is to restore us, not to condemn us. And teach us how, Lord, to love each other. Christ in me is to live, and to die is gain. Christ in me is to live. He is my life. To die is gain. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you know Christ today? Is He in you? Is the hope of glory in you? If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. You must be born again, Jesus said. Open your heart right where you're at today and say, Jesus, I want to know You. I don't want to just learn about You, hear about You. I want to know You personally. And I ask You to reveal Yourself to me, Lord. Lord Jesus, I believe You died on that cross for my sins. I ask You, Lord, to please forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart and save me. Fill me with Your holy presence. Give me a new beginning, Lord. A fresh start. If you've been away from God, you've been lukewarm. You've just been kind of like doing the little thing here and there. You're not really living for God. You're living for yourself. And once in a while, you give God a little service. God didn't call you to do that. He called you to surrender yourself to Him and to live your life now for Him. He's calling you today, if that's you, He's calling you today to offer your body back to Him and say, Lord, here's my body. Here's my soul. I give it to You as a living sacrifice. I offer it back to You. Lord, I ask You to inhabit me, fill me, and use me as Your vessel. Live in me and live through me in this world. I ask in Jesus' name, in Christ alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.